Well, thank you, Ross. Up next, this coast-to-coast journey with Bert Youngson as we talk about the hypnotic powers of crop circles. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Bert Youngson is an award-winning author, photographer, videographer. His interest in the power of shapes, form, harmony, geometry has led him into all kinds of mysterious things in the worlds of science and spirituality. Bert travels all over the planet to study, photograph, and lecture on crop circles. He has produced 3 documentaries, authored 2 books, Intriguing Subset of Reality, The Hypnotic Power of Crop Circles, one of them. Bert, welcome to Coast.
Good morning, George.
Tell me a little bit about how this phenomenon first started for you, how you first encountered the crop formations.
I studied physics and mathematics, and actually I was interested in a lot of subjects that were just a little bit beyond the normal norm, and crop circles were not part of that. But somehow in 1994, I came coincidentally across a crop circle in Holland, and something really strange happened there while I was there, and that made me go to England just one time, going and seeing the crop circles myself, thinking that in one season I would just solve that riddle. And that was in 1995. We are now 15 years later, and since 1995, I've been in England every summer.
Now, you said something fascinating there. You said try to solve the riddle. Are you at a point where you believe these crop formations are riddles, messages perhaps?
For me, they're still riddles, even though when you start studying them, you come very quickly to the point you think to know what it is. And then comes the moment you think, perhaps I don't know exactly what it is. And the deeper you dive into it, the more you understand that actually you don't know anything about it. And so for me, it's a true miracle and a big riddle, yes.
And you know, I've told our reporters who cover these stories, Bert, that if 100 crop formations are out there and 99 of them are man-made, that means you've got that one out there that is unknown, and that's the story.
Yeah, and you can draw the line a little bit further. You can even think by yourself, okay, let's look at those that are man-made. What motivated these guys, and where did those shapes come from? And why did they put them exactly in the landscape where they put them? So there's many questions you can even ask these guys to go into the field. So the subject is so much wider and deeper and mysterious than most people think.
You believe that this could be one of the greatest mysteries of modern times, don't you?
Yeah, I think actually it is. I think that this is the greatest mystery of modern times, yes.
In your opinion, and it might be too early, Bert, for you even to surmise what they may be, but what do you think? What have you been thinking?
What have I been thinking? You go through all kinds of different stages when you get encountered in crop circles. And my first thought was it has to be something from outer space. It has to be aliens.
Carving it in there.
Yeah, well, however they do that. But over time, I've come to the conclusion that, yes, aliens could be involved, and perhaps they're even there to watch what's happening. But I've come to the understanding that actually it's not so much aliens doing it. It's coming from a whole different angle. And now, of course, you get curious what it is.
I was going to say, what's the angle?
I think after all these years that somehow it's a form of our collective consciousness, that we have a very strong influence on what's happening in the fields. And it can even be that it's us from the future, from the past, but somehow I have the feeling we're talking to ourselves.
What about the possibility, too, Bert, that this planet is trying to communicate with us? I think it's alive. I believe in the Gaia theory of this planet. What if it's trying to communicate with us?
Yeah, actually, that could be a good possibility, that Mother Earth is actually communicating with us and showing us it's for us, because there's a lot of little indicators in these crop circles that show there's an intelligence involved that resembles the human intelligence. It resembles the way we think. But at the same time, it shows that it's actually not 100% us. So it could be Mother Earth, actually, yes.
Now tell us about your work with the crop circles. What have you been doing over the years since you've been researching?
I've been doing what everybody does when you go through these kinds of mysteries. The first thing, you are in awe. You think, wow, what's going on? It's a great mystery. Then quickly you start to analyze it. You want to know. You dissect everything. Then comes the moment that you have now found a lot of stuff and you want to teach the world about it. And so I've gone through all of these stages, and then comes a moment that you realize it's so much bigger than you yourself are. And you become really humble, and you want to people to know about it, but it's not so much teaching anymore. It's actually more helping them to experience this and to see the deeper stories in it. And so that's actually what I have done myself as well. My first documentary was one of really being in surprise about the subject. The second one was called The Research, that's telling it all. And the third one was called Contact, because I had the feeling that now, on that moment, I was interacting with the phenomenon.
What can you tell us about the geometry behind it?
The geometry is very fascinating. Geometry in itself is already very fascinating because it really works deep into the human psyche. Carl Gustav Jung, the great psychologist, has done a lot of really thorough research on this field. The geometry of crop circles do the same, but somehow they have these little intricate elements in it. And the first time I saw that, I was really in shock, actually. I saw all these steps that I would make to make the geometry. And then suddenly, one step was missing, and then the phenomenon would pick it up again. So the whole underlying geometry was the geometry I would use, but one crucial step that I would need was not there. And that was pretty shocking for me. It's difficult to explain that, but...
Have you been able to decipher any of some of these symbols?
No, I've not deciphered them in a way that I can say, oh, that symbol exactly means that, and that symbol means that. What has happened is that some symbols would have awakened things in me that, for instance, last summer there were a few crop circles, and suddenly I caught all these pictures of a German composer, Richard Wagner. And strangely enough, a lot of the work Richard Wagner had done was connected to all the crop circles or the area where the crop circles were found. I had no idea about that. But somehow the crop circles told me to look in that specific area. And I find that so fascinating.
Do you tie any of this into 2012 in the Mayan calendar?
In a way, yes. For a long time, I stayed away from that. I thought that actually 2012 was a huge hype, so I stayed a little bit away from it. It's just lately that I noticed that certain elements in the calendar of the Mayas are identical to things that I have found in crop circles, and I have now actually come to the conclusion that there is a really strong connection between the two.
Tell me about your work, especially with your website, Crop Circles and More.
Yeah, Crop Circles and More, I started a few years ago because I thought that it's not about one crop circle, it's about the totality of crop circles. And it can even be that there is only one crop circle and we see different aspects of it. So I was getting convinced that we should not look at one symbol separately, but at all the symbols combined. And so I started a website that actually uses Google Maps and that puts on Google Maps the exact locations of the crop circles, the orientations, how they were laying in the field, in the hope that somebody comes along and says, yes, I see it now.
All right, let's talk about your thoughts that this is consciousness, that we might be doing it. If we are, how's it happening?
It's happening on a subconscious level. Like I said already, Carl Gustav Jung showed that shapes can do a lot to you. What he did with his patients who were schizophrenic, who could not talk to him actually, he let them paint, and the first paintings were really depressing and black and threatening. But the more they painted, the more geometrical the paintings became. And Jung in the end came to the conclusion that when the human mind expresses itself on the deepest level, it will do that in the form of geometry. And so he studied further. He looked if he was the first one to have discovered this. And then he found the Chinese alchemist who used the same idea, the same concept, but the other way around. And they called it mandalas. And they used geometry to get inside of themselves. And I think the crop circles are actually the perfect example of that. It's an expression of ourselves, and it's portholes, portways into ourselves.
What are we trying to express, though? What's the message you think we're trying to send?
I get the feeling that the message is that we can evolve, and let's say it comes from the future, and there is some necessity for us to evolve. How would I go about that if I could time travel and help us? How would I do that? And I think I would do it actually the way it's done with crop circles. On the subconscious level, open people up, let them open up to their capabilities and what they can do much more than we think in the 3D reality. And while they open up subconsciously, they will evolve very rapidly. And that's what's going on, in my opinion.
Somebody will try to break this code eventually, won't they?
No, I'm not so sure about it, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It can be that it always stays on the subconscious level and that we will just make a shift or a transition and the crop circles disappear and we'll never exactly know that it was actually these shapes in the field that did it.
Has anybody witnessed these being made directly?
Yeah, I know a few people who have actually witnessed it pretty much directly. One of them lives in Holland from where I live as well, and that's a young guy who has a really strange connection to the phenomenon, and he feels when it's going to happen. And lots of formations have come down in the fields behind his house, his parents' house. He still lives with his parents. And on a few occasions, he caught up, and while he looked out of the window, he saw it happening. And he always connects it with light phenomenon being seen. A ball of light that would float over a field and transform to a pancake, making some short connection with the field, and then their shape would come into existence.
Bert, how come we don't have science conducting some heavy research into this? I mean, this would seem like a natural.
Yeah, I wonder myself about that. There is science, there's science on the BLT laboratories, they do some science, but it's still very little. I'm in touch with the University of Delft in Holland, but they are also very reluctant. They're very scared that their name gets attached to it, this phenomenon, and they are really scared that somebody's going to tap them on the shoulder and is going to say, caught you there. And that fear, it's pure fear. Actually, they want to help, but without being their name mentioned. Yeah, then the research is not so valuable, actually, anymore.
Bert, what kind of pushed you into the theory that you've got that this could be created by us through our consciousness?
The first thing that pushed me in that direction was actually the geometry. When I analyzed the geometry and I saw that there were a lot of human elements in it and a lot of elements were missing, I thought we are much more connected to this phenomenon than most of the people think. And that was actually the first push in that direction.
And they're still popping up all over the planet, aren't they?
They're not all over the planet. There are specific regions. Let's say England is still the majority in the south of England. When it comes to America, it's always the area around Ohio, the states around there, Illinois.
Interesting. Why those areas? Are there special geographic points for some reason?
Yeah, I don't know. I have thought a long time that it was connected to the ancient sites. There are a lot of ancient sites in England and some ancient sites in North America. It can also be that it's the same what we have in Holland. We have this kind living in this little village, and over the years, dozens of crop circles have come down there and really, really strange events. And that somebody like him is living, for instance, in South England and not knowing it himself or herself and being a catalyst for this phenomenon to happen in that specific area. It can be that simple, actually.
When do we crack these myths? When do we, these riddles?
I don't know. Perhaps it's 2012. You never know. It could be that in 2012 we do something and think, that was simple. That took us so long to see that, but it's so simple.
What do you think the messages are? Are they friendly? Are they disastrous for us?
No, I think they're fairly friendly, actually. And in such a way that the friendliness lays in that it helps us to make a shift. And now it's up to us how we're going to do that shift. It's a little bit like 2012. In my opinion, not a real disaster is going to happen there. It's just a moment in time that we can determine how the future is going to look like. Now, we know from quantum physics that we create our own reality, And this was really brilliant from the Mayas to actually recognize that if we put a time point somewhere, then and we make it in such a way that it's going to be a reflection of humankind, then that actually will take care that the humans will get that what they actually deserve from that moment. So if we think doom about 2012, we will get doom. If we think beauty about it, we will get beauty.
I hope.
Oh, no, I'm convinced. You see, and the moment we start hoping, we are doubting. And then the moment we doubt, then it's actually all over. We have to be really sure of it.
How long, if these were made by man physically, how long do you think it would take a human being or a group of people to make these shapes?
Yeah, that depends, of course, which shape you take. If you take a simple circle, you can do that really pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly, yeah.
Yeah, I have seen formations that were so huge, so big, so intricate, that even huge groups of people cannot really do that in a short time. There was this butterfly man this year in Holland, made the world news, huge crop circle. It turned out to be man-made, but Kai admitted that he needed 55 people to do it.
Jeez.
It took him 9 months in preparation.
Somebody would get spotted after that, don't you think?
Yeah, those 55, they, of course, made appointments with the farmer. It was all a big setup, and it was planned months in advance, and likely he was already days in the field to put actually the shape in the field. But actually flattening, that took still 55 people, and they worked the whole night. So that taught me that I think there's much less hoaxing than people want to believe.
What's the why behind this? Not even necessarily what it is, but why is it?
Why the phenomenon?
Yeah.
Yeah, what I say, I think actually as a kind of guideline for us to wake things up in us, to make us aware of a bigger picture. I have come for myself to realize that since I'm involved in crop circles, I'm looking at the world very differently. And suddenly, all kinds of things happen in my life. So I'm very much aware of who's crossing my path now and what I see on a daily basis. And you will see if you do that, that every aspect what you see in a day has something to do with your life. It's important. You can neglect that.
You seem to be more tuned in, I guess.
I'm very much more tuned in. And I'm pretty sure that crop circles played a big, big role there.
Scientifically, they have shown that there's something happens to the crops. The wheat, for example, there's a different genetic makeup to it after something. They've been altered, haven't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of alterations found in crop circles. I've spoken many times with the owner of the East Field. That's the biggest field in South England with crop circles, Tim Carson. And Tim told me that since he has gotten these crop circles in his field, that the yield of the field has gone up dramatically. So he's actually a pretty happy guy. He's always very friendly, and he could be a really sad guy when the crop circle is going to disappear. So there's something going on. It's not really clear how it happens. Something has happened to the soil or to the crop itself that causes this yield effect.
Your documentaries that you produced, are they generally on the crop formations?
The documentaries are all really focusing on the crop formation. Yeah.
Okay. And did you come up with any specific conclusions?
No, I came up with a conclusion, what I said, that we are very closely connected to it. And what I also have seen lately is that the crop circles are just actually an expression of a much bigger mystery that has been going on for hundreds of years. When I look at the Cathars, what they were saying, and the Knights Templar, and all the gnosis, the inner knowing they had, and how they expressed it, I see a lot of similarities with the crop circles there.
All right, we're going to take phone calls with you, Bert, when we come back. It'll be our final segment. Bert Youngson, our special guest, as we talk about the hypnotic power of crop circles. We'll take your phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about some human-enhanced capabilities. Get ready for that. And by the way, if you're a member of Streamlink, on our next Coast to Coast moment, you'll be able to join us for chat at 8 p.m. We just sit back around the old computer and fire away at each other. So we do that at 8 p.m. Pacific time at coasttocoastam.com for Streamlink members. Back with phone calls now and our guest, Bert Youngson, on Coast to Coast AM. Bert, have you noticed that the shapes, the riddles, as you've called it, do they have a changing tone to them over the years? Do they seem to be getting more and more confusing or more and more elaborate?
Yeah, there has been changes. It has started in the early days with simple circles, and then it became circles with boxes and pathways. And then came a dramatic change that actually it changed from these boxes and pathways to much more mandala-like shapes. And they've become more complex over the years, but the last 5 years, I've not seen a real change in complexity, perhaps a change in general shape in the underlying geometry, but not in complexity.
All right, to the phones we go. We'll go to Jim in Brentwood, Los Angeles area. There you go, Jim. You're up with us. Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I've listened to you and Art Bell since I retired from the Aerospace Corporation in 1991. I'm a mathematician.
Ah.
I was a top-secret cryptographic technician at Carswell and Roswell, 46 to 48. You've always wanted people to call in.
Oh, sure.
I've solved a couple of problems in chaos and factoring primes. I've got a test that would prove that the crop circles are nothing more than a man-made joke, more or less.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
What I challenge to do is I've got two equations I've solved. If they really is from outer space, they should know these equations. Mm-hmm. That's the solution of chaos mathematics and an equation for factoring the product of two prime numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I've solved those since I retired, and those are pretty unique solutions.
Why do you think, Jim, that the formations could be man-made? Now, you know, Bert believes they're man-made too, but he thinks it's done with consciousness. Why do you think it's done by man, I assume physically?
Well, it's just, you know, it's like the Piltdown Man, where somebody comes up and creates a mystery, and then everybody talks about it and writes books, and just like the UFOs, that was a Truman cover-up in Roswell, so he'll have to wait for Truman's notes to come out before you find out what really happened at Roswell.
What was he covering up?
Well, what really happened?
What was that?
Well, I can't tell that. I don't know if, you know, you sign a paper that you can't tell anything. Plus, it was covered up so fast that the...
Oh, it's been 60 years. They forgot who you are. Come on, tell me.
No, Truman had a, you know, he had a research group going on there, and the Germans and everything else. There's another secret place above Roswell, you know, that's like Area 51.
Right.
Oh, so yeah. He covered up. They were working on that German plane, you know, the tri-diagonal.
You think it went down? It crashed?
Yeah, they probably had the Germans had perfected the tri-wing before the end of the war, but they got within 20 miles of New York. They didn't want to bomb New York because the United States would have, they didn't. The British had already knocked out that one city, firebombs.
What'd they do, turn around and come back?
Yeah, they turned around and came back. That's all in it.
Yeah. Well, send me an email of this equation you've worked on.
Well, I can't. I'm writing a book. I've got two books coming out. And
well,
I
maybe you'll be a guest then.
Springer Verlag's interested in it. This is a solution to chaos, you know, the Mandelbrot set.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the product of two primes, the RSA Corporation was giving $630,000. They all of a sudden canceled it just as I was about to develop this. You have to use multi-precision to solve it.
Okay. Well, you let us know when it's ready, the book.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to get on your show sometime if I get my book published.
All right. You got a deal. All right. You know, Bert, even though, and I get back to my theory, that even if 99 of them are man-made, which is very possible, you still have that one that isn't, and that's the unusual one.
Yeah. I can see that that's actually the way of thinking that most people do. So what I have done is I've taken people to England with me and said, okay, let's say you find that everything is a hoax. Let's go there. Let's go around in the landscape, sit on the hills, visit the crop circles, the ancient sites, and then make up your mind again. And you will see a lot of people will change their mind pretty quickly. There's so much more going on than just a flat crop that actually the whole hoax theory cannot be substantiated in anymore.
Well, and Jim was saying, the caller was saying that he can prove that they aren't made by extraterrestrials. You're not saying they're made by extraterrestrials. You're saying they're made by humans through consciousness.
Yes, I think that we are pretty much connected, and that has not so much to do with aliens, no.
As you drive down Jefferson Avenue in Detroit, you get into Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and there's Cassandra. Hi, Cassandra.
Hey, DJ.
Hi.
Hello.
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 Are you going to start?
I thought that maybe it was the Native people or some kind of a cult organization leaving a gift for their creator or God.
A cult?
Our Native people.
Mm-hmm.
The day behind that phenomenon.
It could be. It crossed my mind.
Yeah. Of course, I've looked into that as well. I've looked into if that could have been the case, and I came to the conclusion that I saw no evidence for that, for a cult forming somewhere or a cult being responsible for these shapes. So I quickly dropped, actually, that whole cult idea.
Now, you think this is all building up to 2012, Bert?
I think 2012 has a lot to do with it, yes. I think what I've said already earlier, that 2012 gives us the opportunity to really create a reality as we want it. And now it's up to us, actually, to do that in a fairly proper way. We can do it also in a doom way. I find it really fascinating that people always point outside. They say it's aliens who make the crop circles, and we get the pole shift, and we will get tidal waves. But they're all things that are outside of you, and that actually makes it possible that you shift your responsibilities away from yourself. But on the moment that, let's say, you could decide, what would you do? Would you then have a pole shift, or would you have a tidal wave? No, I think we would do complete different things, and let's focus there.
I think, too, the key is the genetic change in the crops they test them. That's weird.
Yes, there could be a clue there that actually that what we see in the crop will eventually also happen to us, that the change in DNA will happen within us, and our capabilities will dramatically increase suddenly.
Next up, we go to Newman in Newark, New Jersey, on the wildcard line. Hey, Newman, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, George. I really thank God for creating you and your team to do what you've been created to do, to see things for what they truly are and to address those issues. We live in a world that we did not create. And on this particular planet, you have things that fly, things that crawl, things that live under the water. We have a big universe out there, and if you think that Earth is the only thing that the Creator created, you're totally mistaken. And I believe that the beings and the aliens from the other galaxies leave images on the Earth to let you know that you're not here alone and leave unexplainable things. As a matter of fact, you may have beings walking right with you in your home that you can't see, but you can feel their presence and they can feel your presence. You know, this is a world that we've been blessed to come into. And as human beings, we're so unintelligent, we're fussing, fighting, killing each other. There's beings in other galaxies that's so intelligent that they refuse to even lower themselves to this particular level. And as human beings, we have to get it together, stop fussing and fighting, realize that God created this whole entire creation, get along, grow together, and build a better world. George, I thank God for you doing what you've been created to do. You do such a wonderful job, and may he bless you and your family forever. And I'd like you to keep up the good work. We are not alone, folks, and if you think you're alone, just take a look at the cat, the dog, the fish, the mouse. Look at the creatures that creep and crawl. This is a creation that we did not create, that the Creator created, and he has all type of beings and all type of life forms in it.
All right. Thank you, Newman. Appreciate it. Good.
Thank you.
Good little speech there.
Yeah, very good.
Tom in Utica, New York, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Tom.
Well, thanks for taking the call from this Freemason and Knight Templar commander.
And 33 degreed, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the Scottish Rite, and I dropped out of Scottish Rite. I never made it to 33rd. I was 32nd, but I went up through the York Rite, which is the... right that the Grand, that the Blue Lodges are in, the Basic Lodges, and also the Knights Templar. And I just want to say that there's your guest has a very good basic idea there about the Knights Templar and the Masons having a hook in with the geometry. Mm-hmm. We teach in our lower degrees now in New York. We can talk. Our Grandmaster in New York has allowed us to talk about any aspect of our degree work and of our ritual in public, with the exception of our handshakes and our passwords, which are insignificant to this particular discussion. But in the lower degrees, in our second degree, which is used to be the top degree, we call fellowcraft, the G above the master's station is described in the in the teaching of that particular morality play as being geometry. And in the third degree, it's identified, that same G is identified as God, which is also Jehovah. But in the earlier learnings, geometry is very much emphasized, along with music and the other arts, of course, which include regularity, the regularity in music, the regularity in most art, the control that's involved. But in the third, that G is elevated to God. So there may be something in between there that hooks the two together. Now, we lost a lot of our work in the Great Fire of London, where the Grand Lodge of England was destroyed. Was that at the time of Isaac Newton?
What year?
That was in the 1600s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it has to be somewhere in the 1600s. And I don't know what the Great Fire exactly was. I know about it, but not exactly the year.
Well, we were in, according to, what we were listening to earlier on the show, thank you, George, was the discussion of alchemy and Newton and all of that work, the Philosopher's Stone, et cetera, reputedly at that time, was destroyed, and the entire nature of Freemasonry went over to was changed over from that sort of work over to charity. However, those things did exist, and as research goes along, either hard copy in the normal sciences or in the paranormal, like the sensitive sciences, meaning what your guest was talking about, like going to England and getting up on the hills and watching what happens.
Mm-hmm. Sure thing. You're right about the fires. Right. It's 1666.
Yep.
For the fires, and Newton was right in the middle of that.
So. Yeah, and much of that research was burned, unfortunately. But we changed the nature of Freemasonry then, and actually we came into public view, made ourselves known in 1717, and came out of being a truly secret society into a visible entity with our own buildings and lodges. As far as being a secret society now, how could we be considered a secret society if we have buildings with our names emblazoned on them on the main streets of town with published meeting times and membership lists? There's no secrecy to it. We can talk about our degrees and everything else. But back to your topics. I'm not sure, of course, we'll find out in good time, with what the hook is with the crop circles. And I'll bet you that when we get everything together with the research of the Knights Templar and the ongoing discoveries, the revealings of the writings of the Vatican, which are coming out more and more all the time, which are revealing more of the dealings between us and the Pope, which got a little sour there about 1307, and which are being rehabilitated now, thank God. I think a lot will come to light. But your idea about going to England and watching, absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
Very good.
Be my guest.
Thank you, Tom. You might be right on, Bert.
Yeah, for myself, I'm right on, but that's me. And I leave it up to everybody to actually feel inside, look into themselves and see what does it tell you. So I'm giving a lecture now coming weekend in Sedona, Arizona, and I try to shake up a lot of people, and then it's up to them to look in the mirror and to tell themselves, what exactly do I believe here?
The big question is why. Even if some of them are man-made and then the rest are coming from ETs or consciousness or the planet Earth is doing it, the big question is why.
Yeah, for me the why is still that we can shift somehow. And it helps us to do that. So we can we made the shift from an ape to a human being, to a thinking human being. And I think it's about time we make the next step in our evolution. And these crop circles help us to do that. And we will look back 100 years from now. People will say, actually, that's true. It was when these crop circles were around that we made this dramatic shift.
Next up, let's go to Butte, Montana. Mike, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Mike. We'll get you in here.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
It's great to talk to you, George. Hey, sir, have you ever seen that book, Manly P. Hall, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, and in there he has the seven chemical elements, the symbols for the seven chemical elements.
Yes, and I'm actually looking at the book right now. I have it here.
Yeah, and they're so. When I first seen them in that book, the first thing I thought of was those look like crop circle formations. These symbols.
There's a lot of connections and cross connections between what Manly P. Hall has written about. It's a really an amazing book, this Secret Teachings of All Ages. I can recommend that everybody actually, and the crop circles. I think Manly P. Hall was tapping some information that is still way beyond our understanding.
Bert, what happens next, in your opinion?
What happens next, actually think that humanity wakes up to this, and we will go to a golden age, or we will fall asleep and we'll go to a dark age. And that moment is pretty close now.
And it could go either way?
It could either way, yes.
What's your gut tell you? Go on a limb here.
I hope actually, and the hope is again is a fake thing. Let's go for the positive way. Let's just do that. Let's forget about all the negativity and let's go for the positive fork in the road and let's take the right direction there.
Crop circles and more, people go to your website. What do they get?
Crop circles and more, they see what my background ideas are about these crop circles. There are lots of links. And there's actually, it's the call to people, study it together with me. Let's do this together. Look at it. Let's share, because I cannot do it alone. Nobody else can do it alone. It's something we have to do collectively. And that could be actually one of the challenges the crop circles put on us. Come together and do it together and not as a separate human.
Well, there is a message there somehow, and I hope we decode it.
I hope so as well, yeah.
All right, Bert, thanks so much. Bert Youngson, fascinating guy, huh? He's one of the few people who has come up with the theory that it's done by us, our own individual consciousness. On our next Coast to Coast program, Joel Garreau joins us as we talk about human enhancement capabilities. That should be a fascinating program. And then on Wednesday, Bill McDonald, as we talk about the Loch Ness Monster and some other strange things. And then a huge program on Thursday, including UFO researcher Stanton Friedman. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.